Astronomy and Space with David Rennick.
See, I've even got an intro for him. There you go. Richie, you ask and we try and deliver. We've got him on the phone. Straight away.
There you go.
David Rennick, good morning.
Brent, good morning. Good on you. There are a lot of calls on this one, I'll tell you.
Mate, how are you?
Yeah, pretty good. Over the moon, in fact.
Look, we had a caller just recently, Richie, and he was talking about this $10 billion James Webb Space Telescope. And I said to him, I don't really know a lot about it. He didn't know a lot about it, but he knew more than me. And I thought, well, the man that could tell us all about it, his name is David Rennicky. So we rang you. Thanks for taking our call.
I eat this stuff at breakfast, Brent.
But do you put milk on? can I ask you, firstly, this new space telescope, tell us what you know about it.
We're looking at the most advanced instrument we've ever sent into space there. Now, we had the Hubble telescope in 1993, Brent. This surpasses that at least 10 times over. So why put it up there? Well, we needed a wider view and a deeper view of the universe. The Hubble can only go so far. And the Hubble telescope worked in the optical area like your eyes do. But this new telescope, the Webb telescope, $10 billion telescope, has got X-ray eyes. It can see in the infrared. And because it can do that, it can look at images that we can't see visually. It can peer back to the dawn of time. And that's what they were hoping to get. Now, the first image that came back yesterday, released by NASA, was absolutely stunning. All of these galaxies out there we're looking at, right at the edge of the universe, over 13.7 billion years old. These are the first stars and galaxies ever created when the universe was born. But I think the most incredible part about it, and the part that it's a little bit hard to digest for the average Joe, is that imagine this photograph you're looking at. If you've seen those photographs on TV last night, all those galaxies. If you've got a grain of sand and you put that on the end of your finger, and you stretched your arm out, held it up to the sky, Brent, that little grain of sand covers the area that we're seeing. Stunning, isn't it?
I'm just holding my hand up looking at the moment. That little grain of sand covers the area that we're seeing. That's amazing.
And in that area, we're looking at hundreds of millions of galaxies at least. This is only the start. This is called archaeoastronomy. And we're looking back trying to find our roots. We're trying to find out where we came from. When did the universe, when was it created? How old is it? Where are we going with it? There are two facets of this that nobody's mentioned and probably don't know about. This telescope may also answer that age-old question that you and I have asked. You probably have. You've walked out in your backyard, you've looked up, and you're listening to it at some stage in your life, and you've scratched your head and thought, anyone else up there looking down at us? Brent, if ET is out there, this telescope will find you. If ET is on a planet around another star, and we know quite a few of them, and he's industrious, he's creating pollution, or any sort of industrial recognizable noise, we'll find that. If the atmosphere is polluted with industry, we'll also find that. If he's making noise, if he's communicating within himself as we do here on Earth, or with other people, we'll be able to pick that up as well. We won't be able to answer anything or talk to each other like you and I are doing now. But it will answer that question that we're not alone. We'll know somebody else is out there. And the other part about it too, very soon we're going to turn that telescope onto our own solar system. And the planet we're going to be looking at in detail is Jupiter. We're going to peer through the clouds of Jupiter and try and work out what makes this planet tick.
Why are they doing that?
What, for the planet and moon?
Yeah, why are they turning the telescope to specifically look at Jupiter?
Because we don't understand what makes it tick. It's weather. It's weathering in there is interesting. It's got clouds that spin at 200, 300, 400 k an hour. There's something at the centre of. We're not sure what the core is made of, whether it's metallic hydrogen, or whether it's liquid or whatever, or an ocean. We're not sure. It's just answering questions. That's what astronomy is all about. It's looking, observing, making deductions, and trying to figure things out. It's a new branch of astronomy. This is the golden age of astronomy at the moment, the golden age of telescopes with this Webb scope. And keep in mind, this thing is sitting out there over 1.5 million k from here, and it's completely in the cold. If this sunlight, if a little bit of sunlight gets onto this telescope, it'll probably ruin it. And that's why when you look at those photographs of the telescope, you'll see a big umbrella shade behind it. and that's to block the sunlight. It's working at almost absolute zero temperature.
You just said, did you not, that this $10 billion James Webb Space Telescope is from Earth, am I right, 1.5 million kilometres away?
Roughly, yeah, yeah.
So how long would it have taken to get into position?
It's taken many, many months to do that. They launched this earlier in the year. There was so many steps, Brent, to go through to get this thing where it was. If any one of those could have failed at any time. The petals on it, the mirror itself is about 7 metres wide, and Hubble, if I remember, is only a bit over 2. So you couldn't put a mirror that big into a spacecraft. So what they did, they made it in segments, really ingenious, just like the petals on a daisy. And they unfolded those petals to create a big round mirror, and that's what's sitting up there right now. Each step took maybe 2 or 3 weeks to do. Then it had to be positioned properly. Then they had to move it into their orbit. They did some calibration tests on it, probably about 15 or 20 processes. Any one of those could have failed. And if it did, can you imagine? There are people who worked on that from the day they left school and the 20 years that went into it up until launch there. How would you be watching that launch?
Yeah, absolutely. So the pictures that we saw last night on our television screens and in the papers today, those pictures, am I right, are stars from millions and millions and millions and millions of years ago. And it's the light, billions of years ago, and it's the light from those galaxies, if you like. And those galaxies may now not even exist, but we're correct. Seeing the light from those galaxies from billions correct. Of years ago.
Hang on to your chair. That light left there 13.7 billion years ago. How old is our solar system? 5 billion.
Wow.
So that light bread, all the time you grew up and you went to school and you did your radio course and you and I and everyone else who ever lived on this planet, everything that ever came here, everyone that ever was, lived their lives here, and that light was still travelling here all that time. And that's what I want to say to people. You know, you and I have talked before about this, about my fascination for it. And that fascination is when we look at the sky at night, we're looking back in time.
Mm.
And when you use a telescope, you're using a time machine.
Thanks for making yourself available at such a short notice. We appreciate it. I knew you would be the man to go to. Thanks, David. I really appreciate it, mate.
Oh, my pleasure, mate.
Okay.